Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to welcome you as we read God's Word together. Today is March 14th, Missions Monday, and I look forward at the end of the podcast to talking about one of our mission partners and praying together for them. We pick up today in Exodus chapter 3, then in Psalm 83, and John 15, verses 18 through 27. Today in Exodus, we see Moses at the burning bush, and there are five objections that Moses makes to God when God says, "Go and set my people free in Egypt." Today in Exodus chapter 2, we'll get through two of them. So I want you to be listening for the objections that Moses makes. Moses and the burning bush. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, "I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up." When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor, and any woman living in her house, for articles of silver and gold, and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters. And so you will plunder the Egyptians. The two objections that Moses makes here are, in verse 11, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Moses remembers that he took justice into his own hands. He's killed a man. Who am I, he says. This is a good reminder that God can use anyone. He forgives our past and he uses us in spite of who we are. And the second objection that Moses makes in this passage is, when I go, Lord, what should I tell them is your name? He's saying, they're not going to believe me. And this is what God replies in verse 14. I am who I am, Yahweh. This is a name of God that reminds us of his self-existence, that he is the creator of all things. He exists even without anything else in the world. From him comes everything. As Jen Wilkin would say, we are contingent and derived beings, but God is not derived from anything. God exists because God exists. Anyway, so it's a very powerful statement that God is saying when Moses will go to Pharaoh, he'll say, the creator God, in essence, has sent me. Okay, I wish we could talk more and about this, but we'll continue on with our readings for today because we're in a very interesting psalm. We're actually in Psalm 83. Now, Psalm 83 requires us to do some thinking about the history of Israel. So I've actually cheated and I went back a few times in scripture to remember what God had done. So basically, this psalm is a prayer that God would do whatever it takes to convince the world that he is indeed God. So the psalmist, Asaph, is recounting in his mind the times when God has seen the Israelites through in battle, or when God has defeated the armies of other nations, etc. So in some of these verses, we will hear the names of different nations who have been disobedient to God or have not helped the Israelites out when they needed help. For example, he mentions in verse 6, the Edomites. Remember back to Numbers chapter 20, or maybe you've never read Numbers chapter 20. We're going to get there. But the Edomites are the people that are descended from Esau. And in the time of the Exodus, when the Israelites are wandering around, headed towards the promised land, they come to the land of Edom and they want to pass through. They don't want to eat anything that the Edomites have. They don't want to drink from their wells. They just want to go through. And the Edomites will not let them pass through. And so the Israelites and the Edomites become great enemies. And then on down in the psalm, there's mention of Sisera and Jabin at the river Kishon. Now, this is a story from Judges chapter 4. It's a very interesting story where a woman named Jael ends up putting a tent peg through the temple of Sisera, the king of Midian. So God defeats the enemies in essence. There are other mentions of Zebah and Zalmunna and Oreb and Zeb. These are all from Judges chapter 8. And these are people who disobeyed God, who didn't fear God. And ultimately, they come to their death because of it. So with that, let's read Psalm 83, a psalm of Asaph. O God, do not keep silent. Be not quiet, O God. Be not still. See how your enemies are astir, how your foes rear their heads. With cunning, they conspire against your people. They plot against those you cherish. Come, they say, let us destroy them as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. With one mind, they plot together. They form an alliance against you, the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, of Moab and the Hagarites, Gabal, Ammon, and Amalek, Philistia and the people of Tyre. Even Assyria has joined them to lend strength to the descendants of Lot. Do to them as you did to Midian, as you did to Sisera and Jabin at the river Kishon, who perished at Endor and became like refuse on the ground. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb, all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take possession of the pasture lands of God. Make them like tumbleweed, O my God, like chaff before the wind, as fire consumes the forest or a flame sets the mountains ablaze. So pursue them with your tempest and terrify them with your storm. Cover their faces with shame so that men will seek your name, O Lord. May they ever be ashamed and dismayed. May they perish in disgrace. Let them know that you, whose name is the Lord, that you alone are the Most High over all the earth. And now let's move over to the Gospel of John. Today we are reading the second half of John 15, starting in verse 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Thank you so much for listening along as we read God's Word together. Today is Missions Monday, so we want to pray alongside Sowing Seeds of Hope, which is a ministry in Alabama's Black Belt that promotes positive, collaborative community development to improve the lives of the residents. And so their work includes efforts to improve health and housing, and making resources available to families for education purposes and economic development. If you'd like to work more with our partnership with Sowing Seeds of Hope, you can contact Miss Jo Wills. They have some very specific prayer requests. Several of their staff members are currently having some health issues, so we want to pray alongside them in that. Also, they are working with a housing program for some families in their area, and these houses are currently under construction, so we want to pray for that initiative And finally, they are launching a partnership with a local system to provide some of the needs for students in the area. So we want to pray alongside them for good communication with the school system and for the teachers and the students. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you that you are who you are. You are Yahweh. You are self-existent. You are creator. Because you are, we exist. And because you decided to create us. And we thank you, Lord, that you created us and you sustain us and you have redeemed us. We pray for our partners in ministry, Sowing Seeds of Hope. We ask, Lord, your blessings on their staff members, that you would restore them to health and give them comfort in this time. We also pray, Lord, for the housing program that they're a part of, that as they build houses, that these houses would just be the foundation for strong families. And we pray for the partnership with the local school systems for the kids. And we pray, Lord, over the teachers in this area, and just pray your blessings on all the work of Sowing Seeds of Hope. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.